And now, let us survey our little band of conspirators on the morning after the crime. We have Joe Keeble, all serenity and breathing generosity.
You're not making much progress with that egg, Connie. And you haven't touched your toast. No appetite, eh? Connie, do you know what I'm going to do?
No, Joe. What are you going to do?
I'm going to telephone the jeweler I bought that old necklace from, and I'm going to ask him to make you another one, just the same in every detail, so that even you won't be able to tell the difference.
Joe!
No, Connie, don't try to talk me out of it. My mind's made up.
Joe Keeble, you are magnificent. There's no other word for it. Not a word of reproach for me being so stubborn, so pig-headed. Oh, Joe.
That's better, Connie. Now let's see you have another go at that egg.
Keeble's serenity and generosity were in for a severe jolt.
No, Uncle Joe, I never got near the bally thing.
But Eve, surely it was she who had escaped with the priceless flower pot.
Oh, Mr. Keeble, I had it. I had it in my own hands. I thought it would be safe to leave it inside the great hall. And now it's gone.
And there was little cause for abandoned jollity in the Peavy camp either.
But Liz, I'm telling you, I couldn't find the stuff.
You're the sort of dumb Isaac that couldn't find a bass drum and a telephone booth.
Somebody must have got there first and swiped it.
Who could have? Everyone was up in the room. Jeez, Ed, there's someone coming.
Fine morning, Miss Peavy. What must it feel to be a blackbird throwing up your heart in song? I'm taking Miss Halliday for a tour around the estate. She seems a little downcast.
I think we're all a bit upset after what happened last night. I was dreadfully frightened, weren't you, Miss Halliday?
I wasn't there.
But we mustn't ramble on like this. Who knows what train of poetic thought we may have interrupted. Come, Miss Halliday.
Ed! Ed! Did you hear? That girl. She said she wasn't in the drawing room when the lights went out. She was down on the terrace, that's where she was, picking up the stuff. And if it isn't in that shack of McTodd's down there in the woods, I'll eat my Sunday rubbers.
What a horrible-looking place. Whatever do you want it for?
Yes, there's no doubt that it wants doing up a bit, by a woman's gentle hand. Will you take a look round and give out a few ideas?
Well, I don't know where...
You were saying? Ah, you're admiring the geranium. I found it lying about up at the castle this morning and pinched it. I'm bound to say I'm a little disappointed in the thing. I had a sort of idea it would turn the old homestead into a rural bower. It doesn't seem to.
It's a beautiful geranium.
There, I cannot agree with you. It seems to have the glanders or something.
It only wants watering.
And unfortunately, this cosy little place appears to possess no water supply. If this moribund plant fancies that I'm going to spend my time racing to and fro with refreshments, it is vastly mistaken. Tomorrow, it goes in the dustbin.
Oh! What a shame. You'd better give it to me. I'll take care of it.
Oh, pray, take it. And very encouraging it is that you shall be accepting gifts from me in this hearty fashion. For it is well known that there's no surer sign of the dawning of the divine emotion love than this willingness to receive presents from the hands of the adorer. I make progress.
You don't do anything of the kind. I must be going. I've got work to do. Nothing here. It's empty.
I had a terrible struggle with the ending. Everybody kept on telling me that I'd got it all wrong. After much agony of spirit, I finally kicked it into shape, I think. Well, see for yourselves. It's the night of the county ball, and the whole castle is in a frenzy of activity, like a barracks on the eve of a regiment's departure for abroad.
1, 2, 3, 4,
down.
Dash it. Go. 1, 2, 3, 4,
down. It's ruined.
Don't be silly, darling. You look quite ravishing.
Oh, it's ghastly. It's so creased. I'm not going.
How do I look? If I may say so, sir, the tie might be worth one more effort.
Allow me, sir.
Ah, thank you. And see if you can rustle up a brandy and soda.
Afraid not, old chap. Lost mine yesterday. Had to strip down the Bugatti, you know.
Ah, good point. Are we taking your Bugatti or my Ferrari?
Ah, yes. Good question.
Hello.
I say.
Well, Freddy.
Beastly shame you aren't coming to the hop.
I don't mind, but Freddy.
But I do, dash it. Thing won't be anything without you. Barely wash out. And I've been trying some new steps out with the Victrola.
Listen, Freddy. I met Mr. Keeble yesterday, and he told me all about how you and he had planned to steal Lady Constance's necklace.
Good Lord.
It's all right. He asked me to steal the necklace, too.
You?
I just wanted to help Phyllis. She's my friend.
My gosh. Then it was you who got the thing last night.
Yes, but I haven't got it any longer. Is Mr. McTodd going to the ball?
Yes, I suppose so.
Then listen. As soon as everybody's gone, you and I are going round to that little cottage of his, and we're going to burgle it.
What?
Burgle it. He stole the jewels from me last night and hid them in the cottage.
But I say, I got him here to pinch the necklace for Uncle Joe.
What?
Absolutely. You see, I began to have a doubt or two as to whether I was capable of the contract, so I roped him in.
He's a friend of yours?
Well, I wouldn't say that exactly, but he said he was a great pal of Phyllis and her husband.
When did he tell you that?
In the train.
I mean, was it before or after you had told him why you wanted the necklace stolen?
No, let me think. After.
Oh, Freddy. He obviously never heard of her in his life until you mentioned her. He wants that necklace for himself.
Gosh, do you think he does?
And he isn't going to get away with it. You and I are going to find that necklace if we have to pull the place down.
Rather muck the place up a bit. I'm covered in soot.
You shouldn't have pulled the bricks out of the chimney.
But how did I know it would all come down? And those dead bats. Well, the belly thing isn't here.
But this isn't the only room in the house.
I think he might have hidden the stuff upstairs.
Or in the cellar. Take your lamp and go and have a look.
To be absolutely honest, I'd much rather
what?
Not go into the belly cellar.
Why ever not?
Well, beetles. Always had a horror of beetles, ever since I was a child.
All right. I'll go down to the cellar. You go and look upstairs.
Well, I say, are you sure you don't mind?
Anything. Nothing but bare stone and coal dust. Freddy! Freddy? Have you found it?
Good evening.
Huh?
It's nice of you to look in. Won't you sit down? On the sofa, perhaps? Or would you prefer a brick?
Where is Mr. Threepwood?
Upstairs. I've put him in storage for a while. He's under the impression that if he stirs out, he will be shot.
Won't you please put that revolver down?
I will park it on the mantelpiece while we chat.
Mister, I can't call you McTodd. Will you please tell me your name?
Smith. The P is silent, as you...
Well, Mr. Smith, I imagine you understand why I'm here.
Well, I took it for granted that you'd come to fulfil your kindly promise of doing the place up a bit. Will you be wounded if I say frankly that I preferred it the way it was before? And all this may be the last word in ultra-modern decoration, but honestly, don't you think you've rather overstressed the bizarre note? All this soot. These dead bats.
I have come to get the necklace.
Ah, the necklace.
And I'm going to get it too.
There, if you will pardon me. I take issue with you. It is plain that in some way or another, Comrade Threepwood has enlisted your services, and I regret to inform you that he is engaged in what I can only call funny
business. Will you please explain yourself?
The facts are as follows. Our mutual friend, Mr. Keeble, has a stepdaughter who looks upon me
as... What is the use of trying to fool me like this? You had never heard of Phyllis until Freddy mentioned her.
Believe me...
I won't. Freddy got you down here to help him steal that necklace and give it to Mr. Keeble so that he could help Phyllis, and now you're trying to keep it for yourself.
Is everybody in on this little plot?
Mr. Keeble asked me to try to get the necklace for him.
Oh, this opens up a new line of thought. When I found Freddy here, I jumped to the conclusion that he was trying to double-cross myself and Uncle Joe. Never occurred to me that he might be crediting me with the same sinful guile.
Mr. Smith, are you really a friend of Phyllis?
She looks on me as a grandfather. Are you a friend of hers?
We were at school together. But I never heard her speak of you.
Strange. Was there some snobbish strain that kept her from admitting that she was accustomed to hobnob with one in the fish business?
Fish business? Fish? Smith! Of course I remember now. She said that Mike's best friend was in the fish business and that his name was Smith. She said you were just my sort of... She said she wanted me to meet you.
This is one of the most gratifying moments of my life. It seems to me that you and I were made for each other. I'm your best friend's best friend, and we both have a taste for stealing other people's jewellery. I cannot see how you can very well resist the temptation that we are twins
old. Don't be silly. Where is the necklace?
The business note. Always the business note. Ah, well. You have heard of the acquisitive habits of the jackdaw, no doubt. There was a certain little chappie in Reed.
The stuffed birds. The one place we didn't think of looking.
There.
Aren't they beautiful?
Distinctly. I think that I may say that of all the jewels I've ever stolen...
Hey! Stick 'em up.
Attaboy, Ed. I'll take the sparklers.
No funny business.
I would be the last person to advocate anything of the sort. Miss Halliday, this is Comrade Coots, of whom you've heard so much.
Miss Peavy!
Hello.
What I think Miss Halliday is trying to say is that she's finding it a little difficult to adjust her mind to the present development. I, too, must confess myself at something of a loss. I thought you were a poetess.
So I am a poetess. Just you start in joshing my poems and see how quick I'll bean you with a brick. Well, Ed, no sense in hanging around here. Let's go.
Okay, we'll have to tie these birds up. Otherwise, we'll have them squealing before we can make a getaway.
Ed, try to remember sometimes that that thing balanced on your collar is a head, not a Hubbard squash. How are they going to squeal? They can't say a thing without telling everyone they snatched the stuff first.
Hey, that's right.
Well, don't come butting in.
Pardon me, but if it's not a rude question, are you two married?
Huh?
You seem to talk to him like a wife. Am I addressing Mrs. Coots?
You will be if you stick around for a while.
1,000 congratulations to Comrade Coots. I'm thinking of getting married myself shortly and...
Ah, my foot's got this very ceiling.
Freddy!
What the...
Oh, well done, Smith.
Ed, Ed!
I'll take that revolver, Comrade Coots. No funny business. Are you all right, Freddy?
Yes, I think so.
You think yourself smart, don't you?
I'm afraid that I must trouble you to hand over that necklace.
Try and get it. I'm going to walk straight out of here with this collection of ice right now, and I'll bet you won't have the nerve to start any shooting. Shoot a woman? Not you.
Your trust in my sense of chivalry rests on solid ground, but I fancy I see a way out of the difficulty. I shall shoot not you, but Comrade Coots.
What?
I shall try to plug him in the leg, but I am a poor shot and I may hit him in some more vital spot.
Hey!
Give me that.
Here, take it. Take it, Mr. Whatever your name is.
I thank you.
Well, that seems to be about all. Guess we'll be going. Come along, Ed. Pick up the Henrys.
I... Coming, Liz.
So that's it.
You have a happy gift of phrase. That, as you sensibly say, is that.
Fancy Miss Peavy being a thief.
I found myself warming to her. I almost wish that we'd not been compelled to deprive her of the jewels.
We? I'm afraid I didn't do much.
Your attitude was exactly right. You afforded just the moral support which a man needs in such a crisis.
So, you're going to be married?
I think so. I think so. What do you think?
Yes. I think so too. Shall I tell you something?
You could tell me nothing more wonderful than that.
When I met Cynthia in Market Blanding, she advised me, if I ever married, to marry someone eccentric. She said it was such fun. Well, I don't suppose I'm ever likely to meet anyone more eccentric than you, am I?
I think you would be unwise to wait on the chance.
You were wonderful just now. Simply wonderful. The way you made one spring...
Your words are music to my ears. But we must not forget that the foundations of the success of the manoeuvre were laid by Comrade Threepwood putting his foot through the ceiling.
Oh, good gracious! Oh, Freddy! Oh, I've forgotten all about him.
The right spirit, quite the right spirit.
We must go and let him out.
Just as you say. And then he can come with us on the stroll I was about to propose that we should take through the woods. It's a lovely night. And what could be jollier than to have Comrade Threepwood prattling at your side? I'll go and let him out at once.
No. Don't bother.
The importance of balancing the ingredients in a bran mash cannot be exaggerated. Always measure exactly, never...
Clarence, I want a word with you.
Connie, McAllister's waiting for me in the yew alley. I'm already late.
I shall not take up much of your time, Clarence. I wish to talk to you about Baxter.
Baxter? Too late to talk about Baxter. I've sacked him.
I think you must be mad.
Baxter's the one who's mad. He threw...
You're too absurd.
He threw flower pots at me.
Do please stop talking about those flower pots. Mr. Baxter has explained the whole thing to me, and surely even you must see that his behaviour was perfectly excusable.
I don't like the fellow.
You will be helpless without him.
Nothing of the kind.
You know you will. Where will you ever get another secretary capable of looking after everything like Mr. Baxter? You know you are a perfect child. And unless you have someone whom you can trust to manage your affairs, I cannot see what will happen. Chaos.
I have come to say goodbye, Lady Constance. The car which is taking me to the station is at the door.
Oh, Mr. Baxter.
Goodbye, Lord Emsworth.
Eh? What? Oh, yes, yes. Goodbye, my dear fellow. I mean, goodbye. I hope you have a pleasant journey.
Thank you.
But Mr. Baxter...
Lord Emsworth, I am no longer in your employment.
But Mr. Baxter, surely even now... We can still talk over this little misunderstanding.
Yeah, I say.
I fear it is too late to talk things over.
There, you see.
Ever since I came to work for Lord Emsworth, my former employer, an American millionaire named Jevons, has been making me flattering offers to return to him. Until now, a mistaken sense of loyalty has kept me from accepting these offers. But this morning I telephoned to Mr. Jevons to say that I was at liberty and could join him at once. It is too late now to cancel that promise.
Quite. No, certainly, quite. Oh, mustn't dream of it, my dear fellow, no. Oh, no, indeed.
Then there is nothing more to say. I do not know what Blandings will be without you, Mr. Baxter. Goodbye.
And now, Mr. Baxter, if you'll excuse me, I'll...
I will not detain you long, Lord Emsworth.
Oh, my dear fellow, don't bother to...
I am no longer in your employment, but I think it is my duty to say before I go...
No, my dear fellow, I quite understand. I know what you're going to say, the matter of the flower pots. Now, please do not apologise. Quite all right. I was startled at the time, I own, but no doubt you had excellent motive.
I had no intention of referring to the matter to which you allude. I only wish...
Yes, of course, yes. Some other time. Eh? Yes, that'll be capital.
Very well. Pray do not let me keep you. If you are not interested in the fact that Blanding's Castle is sheltering a criminal...
Sheltering a criminal?
I must go now, or I will miss my train. I was merely going to tell you that this fellow who calls himself McTodd is not Ralston McTodd at all.
Not Ralston McTodd? But he said he was.
He is an impostor. And I imagine that if you investigate, you will find that he and his accomplices stole Lady Constance's necklace.
But, my dear fellow...
You need not take my word for it. Compare the man's writing with the signature the real McTodd wrote when he accepted Lady Constance's invitation. You will find it filed in a corner of the desk there. Oh. Now that I am no longer in your employment, the thing does not concern me. But I thought you might be glad to hear the facts.
I am. Yes.
Goodbye.
Yes. But Baxter, my dear fellow. What on earth am I supposed to do? I can't very well have the fellow arrested. So deucedly unfriendly.
Good morning. I was looking for Miss Halliday.
My dear fellow,
I thought you might be in her little room yonder.
No.
I'm surprised to find you indoors on so glorious a morning.
My dear fellow, that's to say...
You were observing?
Baxter. Baxter has just departed from me.
Forever?
Yes.
Splendid, splendid.
The fact is, Baxter made a most remarkable statement about you.
He said, no doubt, that I was not really Ralston McTodd.
Yes.
It's quite true. I am not Ralston McTodd.
You admit it?
I'm proud of it.
Then what the deuce are you doing here under his name?
I was expecting you to ask that question. Primarily, I want no thanks. I did it to save you embarrassment.
You what?
When I came into the smoking room of our mutual club that afternoon, I found Comrade McTodd on the point of leaving your life forever. It seems he'd taken umbrage because you'd buzzed off to chat to that florist. He legged it, leaving you short one modern poet. I stepped into the breach to save you from the inconvenience of having to return home without a McTodd of any description.
Are you a member of the Senior Conservative Club?
Most certainly.
Well, then, dash it, you can't be a criminal. Baxter's an ass.
Exactly.
He would have it that you'd stolen my sister's necklace.
I can assure you that I have not got Lady Constance's necklace.
Of course not, my dear fellow. I'm merely telling you what that idiot Baxter said. Oh, thank goodness I got rid of him. Oh, goodness knows what I'm going to do without him.
You have touched on a matter which I'd intended to broach to you at some convenient moment when you were at leisure. If you would care to accept my services, they are at your disposal.
Well,
the fact is, I'm shortly about to be married, and it's more or less imperative that I connect with some job that will ensure a moderate competence. Why should I not become your secretary?
But I've never had a married secretary.
I think you'd find a steady married man an improvement on these wild flowerpot-throwing bachelors. If it would help to influence your decision, I may say that my bride-to-be is Miss Halliday. Huh? Probably the finest library catalogist in the kingdom.
But I like her.
Excellent.
She's a nice girl.
I quite agree with you.
Oh. And have you any experience as a secretary?
I must admit that I have not. You see, until recently I was more or less of the idle rich. My name, perhaps I ought to reveal to you, is Smith. The P is silent. My name is probably unfamiliar to you, but you may have heard of the house which was for many years the Smith headquarters, Corfby Hall.
Corfby Hall? Are you the son of the smith who used to own Corfby Hall? Bless my soul, I knew your father well.
Really?
Yes. That's to say, I never met him.
No,
but I won the first prize for roses at the Shrewsbury Show the year he won the prize for tulips.
It seems to draw us very close together.
Why, my dear boy, if you're really looking for a position of some kind and like to be my secretary, nothing can suit me better. nothing. Why, bless my soul.
I'm extremely obliged, and I shall endeavour to give satisfaction. And now, if you'll excuse me, I think I'll go down and tell the glad news to your capable catalogist, if I may so describe her.
Well, I think that just about cleans things up. Mind you, you can't think out plots like mine without getting the suspicion from time to time that something's gone seriously wrong with the brain's two hemispheres. Many is the time I've felt like crying out, "Oh, what a noble mind is here o'erthrown!" But we've got there at last. All that remains is to get Lord Emsworth, with his glasses on his nose where they ought to be, back into the gardens of his earthly paradise, which is where he's wanted to be since we started.
McAllister! We've got to have a serious talk about the hollyhocks.
Lord Emsworth was played by Michael Horden, Beach by Ellis Dale, Joe Keeble, Brian Pringle, Miss Peavy, Zoe Wanamaker, Coots, Stuart Milligan, and McTodd, Peter Marinka. Susan, Alex Marshall, Briggs, Alan Dudley, newspaper employee Hayden Wood, a young man Spencer Banks, flowered waistcoat Michael Spice, snuff-coloured suit George Parsons, and a waiter Ronald Herdman.
I knew there was something about him the moment I set eyes on him. Have you ever seen a poet who wears a monocle?
Baxter, Christopher Godwin.
I do not know what Blandings will be without you, Mr. Baxter.
Lady Constance, Joan Greenwood.
Why couldn't she have married me? I wish life was a bit more like the movies.
Freddie, David Troughton.
Go away. Eh? Go away.
Go away?
Yes, go away.
Righto.
Oh.
Unlike the male codfish, which, suddenly finding itself the parent of 3,500,000 little codfish, cheerfully resolves to love them all, the British aristocracy is apt to look with a somewhat jaundiced eye on its younger sons.
P.G. Woodhouse, John Gielgud.
Now, I wonder how one goes about cataloguing a library.
Eve, Caroline Langrish.
The whisper flies round the clubs. Smith has found his niche at last.
Smith, Simon Ward. Leave It to Smith was adapted by Michael Bakewell from the novel by P.G. Woodhouse. The play was directed by Peter King.